Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug is here, as in Mr. Oster, DougOster.com. So if you have a gardening question, I highly urge you to start dialing now, 866-391-1020. But we always begin by giving you an opportunity to win something incredible from the good folks at Sorgles out there in Wexford. And if you're the 10th caller, you will win that gift certificate worth $25. You can get a whole lot of good and delicious stuff out there as well, too, for that. 412-922-1020 is the number to dial. So get in and be the 10th caller to get that gift certificate. But right now, let's get to our host. He is the organic gardener, Mr. Doug Oster. Good morning.
Good morning. I've got a big day planned today. I'm going to be giving away a bunch of rare and unique heirloom tomato seeds today from 12 to 3 at Han Nursery. It's part of my annual Shop with Doug event at the nursery. We have so much fun. You don't have to do shopping, but if you're looking for something, I will walk you through there and I will look for the bargains with you and just stop by so we can talk gardening. It's going to be a lot of fun. They've got a lot of great stuff at the nursery. So here are some of the tomato seeds that I'll be giving away today. The first one is really an interesting one. It's unnamed. I don't know what the name of it is. I found it at a farmer's market on my first trip to Croatia. Had taken it to a winery where our travel group was going, and they served us this, you know, cut it up, and I saved a few seeds. And so I've been growing it out. It's a medium-sized tomato, but it has kind of an accordion shape, kind of a plum shape with like an accordion creases in it. It's a really cool, meaty tomato. The other one, or one of the other tomatoes I'm giving away, is called Manon's Majesty, and I did a big story on this last year. It's the last tomato bred by West Virginia's WVU's Manon Gallegly. It is a tasty tomato, and it is bred to be resistant to Septoria leaf spot, which is the an early fungal disease, but it also is resistant to lots of other diseases, fungal diseases. So this tomato was only available from WVU. When it's available, you can send a envelope and they'll send you some free seeds. But Dr. Gallegly's granddaughter works at the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden. And when I was at the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden, the Dr. Mark Miller, who I work with there, said, you know, we've got Manon's Majesty here, and there were a couple of them there. And he goes, here, just take them for the seeds. And I said, you sure you don't want one? He's like, I don't save the seeds. I've been saving a lot of tomato seeds. I'm going to talk about that in a second, how to do that. And so this Manon's Majesty, this is, I believe it's the fourth tomato that he has released. And it's just a spectacular tomato, and this disease resistance is going to be great for us. Another interesting unnamed Pennsylvania heirloom was sent to me by a reader when I worked for one of the newspapers 24 years ago. And again, it has no name, but it grows these long, sweet fruit that resemble more like a Italian pepper than a tomato. It's pretty cool. The other seeds I have, one called Reverend Warren, which I know nothing about. I can't find anything about it, but it's something that somebody sent to me. Violet, which is, of course, a purple tomato. Mortgage Lifter. Now, I'm sure you remember the story of Mortgage Lifter. That's a West Virginia tomato, and it's the full name is actually Radiator Charlie's Mortgage Lifter Tomato. Now, that one, back in the 30s, Radiator Charlie had this radiator shop at the bottom of a mountain in West Virginia. He got those trucks all ready to get over the mountain. But without any plant breeding experience, he crossed four of his favorites to come up with a tomato that he was able to sell for a dollar a piece in the 1940s and raise $6,000 to pay off the mortgage. So that's a really nice, big beefsteak tomato. So big that you have to have that tomato caged. Otherwise, it'll pull a steak down. And then I've got Pink Ponderosa, which is another really good meaty tomato. But I also bring along a few surprise tomatoes, too. Part of the what I've been doing on my website is called the Pittsburgh Preservation Project. There are three tomatoes in there that I'm trying to preserve. And those seeds, you can just send me a self-addressed stamped envelope for. I'll send you seeds back with some instructions. You grow it out and send me some seeds back. So the three tomatoes in there right now are Limbaugh Legacy Potato Top, 3945, the tomato found on the battlefield at World War II, and a brand new one is Dr. Jim Snow. And that's a really cool big beefsteak tomato with a great Pittsburgh story. And so I was working in the garden like crazy yesterday, got a load of compost and unloaded it into the garden. That took forever. I used to be able to do truckloads of compost a day without a problem, but one load was enough for me. And it got a lot done. I planted two types of lettuce, cilantro, beets, parsley, kale, mizuna. This is all plants I got last week when I spoke at Bedner's. Your local nursery it will have these cool weather crops right now, and this is the time to put them in. If you've got space, I pulled out, my beans were basically done, the first crop of beans. I pulled those out, again, put the compost on top. There's just no better feeling than putting compost on and planting right in that stuff and watering, and the stuff is going to go crazy. And so get some cool weather crops in. I've got some cold frames and they're open. That's just a unheated box with a translucent or transparent lid. And I just leave the lid up now, put the cool weather crops in there. And then when things cool off in a month or so, I can close the lids and they'll be happy. So let's talk a little bit about saving seeds. All this information about saving seeds is at DougOster.com, but just wanted to go over it for you. I'm saving special seeds from a tomato called blueberries for some friends of mine, Noah and Bob. They are the onion kings of Pittsburgh. And so they saw a post I had about this blue tomato that I got from Tomato Fest. And it is, I don't know if it's blue or if it's purple, but I'd say really dark blue. And so all we do when we're saving seeds of anything, we are just waiting until that plant is ready to whether it's drop a tomato or throw seeds from a flower. The only thing you have to remember is that it has to be an open pollinated variety. There's two big families of plants. One is called hybrid. The other is called open pollinated. It will always say hybrid on the plant tag or on the seed packet. And as long as it's not a hybrid, and the only reason we're not saving from hybrids, they don't come true. It'll revert to one of the parents used to make that hybrid. And so all I'm doing is I'm taking a tomato that's really ripe and I'm cutting it open and I'm squeezing those seeds into a little thing of water. And then I'm leaving it in that water for 2 days, 3 days, stirring once a day. That has those seeds fermenting, and that fermentation process removes that gelatinous coating on the tomato that stops it from sprouting inside the tomato, and it kills some diseases too. Then I'm just putting them on a coffee filter, kind of draining all the water out and letting them dry, and they are ready to go. I'll put them in a little packet, and I'll have those blueberries for Noah and Bob, but I've been saving lots of different tomatoes and tomato seeds, and I'll save some other seeds too, maybe some peppers too. And man, watering. We need rain. I hope we get this rain in the middle of the week that we're supposed to. One fun thing, real quick, I've been infatuated with this pepper. I got it at Sorgel's. It's called Pimenta Bella Purple, 1 million Scovilles. And so I took it over to my friend Hot Pepper Dave the other day, a bunch of them. He had a plant, but believe it or not, the deer are nibbling on it. But mine looks like a shrub. It's filled with peppers. And so I made a video of Hot Pepper Dave eating that hot pepper. And he takes it really well. A normal person could not do that. I also sent some of those peppers to a good friend of mine. He used to work together with at WQED. And he told me a story once about eating a habanero where he just watched it on the kitchen counter and then went over and ate the whole thing. He had milk and bread and everything. And 20 minutes later, he thought he was having a heart attack. So I love this pepper. So check out that video. And then I just got a text from my friend Mark. He says, he grew mortgage lifter. I staked them. They pulled my stakes over. They are huge. Mark, it is a great tomato, isn't it? So lots to talk about today. Come see me at Han Nursery today. And I have a bunch of really cool, rare tomato seeds for you. I would love for you to get them. And this is kind of one of the fun things of gardening, growing all these unusual, different things.
All right, Doug, 866-391-1020, number to call to get those gardening questions in. Family-friendly budgeted meals next hour with Frank, of course, Dentisi DeCoon's Cooking Hour, Tri-State Neuropathy Center's Dr. Sean Ritchie, Accurate Solutions, and then a big two-hour edition of the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show, and the big win at the Backyard Brawl as Pitt comes from a 10-point deficit to get the win. You'll hear more in that in the way of sports moments away, brought to you by Coons Quality Food. Stay with us. All right, all of you gardeners out there that have a question, fall planting season is upon us, so get on the line, 866-391-1020. Let's say hi to Susan. Hey, Susan, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Good.
I have a question about colloletus. I want to know, should I thin them? I have three groups of maybe 20-inch round of the flowers, and I don't know if I should just let them continue to grow and develop, or should I thin them? And if I do, how deep do I plant the bulbs when I dig them up?
How are they blooming?
I beg your pardon?
How are they blooming? Are they blooming strong?
Absolutely. Very strong.
I wouldn't touch them then. And do they stay outside for the winter, or do you pull them and bring them in?
They stay outside.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. I wouldn't touch them. If they're doing their thing, if you notice they start to slow down a little bit at the end of the season, lift that big bunch and gently tease them apart, and then just bulbs are planted about three times as deep as the actual bulb is. So look at the size of it, and a few inches down will be fine for them. And they would definitely benefit during the winter from a nice layer of mulch too. How did you get hooked up with those? How long have you been growing those?
Oh, probably about 3 or 4 years, and they just keep developing more and more, and they're beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful, but I worry that they're so thick in the clumps, you know, because they're kind of grouped together, and whether I should thin them or not. But I leave them outside. I don't touch them.
No, that's great. Leave them outside. Maybe throw some fertilizer on them in the spring just to be sure. But as long as they're doing their thing, I wouldn't worry about it. If they're happy, just leave them be.
Do I have to wait till the green dies off completely before I take it off, or just let it alone?
You would like that green to die back as far as you can. If it drives you crazy, you can remove it as it starts to change color. But the longer you can leave them there and just let them do their thing. I always say that when you've got bulbs and the foliage is declining, and people can't stand what it looks like, just look another direction.
Okay. Thank you so much for your help. I appreciate it.
All right.
It.
Thank you.
All right, 866-391-1020. Available line, so fill them up. Doug's here till 8 o'clock.
Well, I did not want this to work out this way, but I am the winner of the late planted tomato contest. But don't worry, the other two people will get prizes. I just don't know what the prizes are. I think I'll find some really cool tomato seeds for them. But so my friend Dan Bowles, he always hears me talking about planting late. And the latest I'd ever planted a tomato was July 4th. And I think that's really late. And it's like an early tomato, like an early girl or a cherry tomato. There's one I grow called Red Racer that puts on tomatoes really quick. But this is one called Sun Gold, and it's 47 days from transplant. So Dan had extra plants, and he suggested, why don't you have a contest between yourself and two listeners? Because I've got three plants left. And he goes, I don't want them to go to waste. And I bet you, one of the three of you, will be able to get a tomato to ripen. And so we met on July 26th, the three of us. They got to pick whichever plant they wanted. And I got left with the last plant, and I told them what I was going to do, that I was going to put them in a container, a big 15-gallon cloth pot called a root pouch, a fabric pot. And I fertilized it and watered it like crazy, and they turned orange, and I ate them, and I was the first one. One of the contestants, a dog, went out and ate her tomatoes. and then the other one, just the tomatoes were really slow. Is there a caller, Rob? Do we want to try and squeeze one in?
Yeah, we got a couple. Let's go to Lee. Lee wants to talk peppers on KDK's Organic Gardener with Doug Oster. Hey, Lee, how are you?
Good. Good morning. I had a question. I hadn't gardened in probably 30 years, and I put a raised bed up last year and built it again this year. And I have problems with peppers. I'm trying to grow like the green bell peppers.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest they get is maybe 2 inches long. Would you think, what kind of green sweet pepper would you recommend?
So first off, what do we have in the raised bed? What did you put in there to grow in? What kind of dirt?
Just garden soil.
So like a bagged garden soil from a nursery or from?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Everything else grew wonderfully except the peppers.
So there's one I really like called Ace that is a quick-growing pepper. And a lot of times, if you're growing something like California Wonder, that's a really popular green pepper, but it takes a long time. And so I would also fertilize those peppers, bell peppers, with something, not high nitrogen, but a good balanced fertilizer. But I want to know, what got you back into gardening?
I was just bored. I'm getting old and I'm retired and I like being outside and it gave me a reason to be out.
And real quick, we're almost out of time. What else did you grow in that bed?
Kohlrabi.
All right. And was that from seed? Was the kohlrabi from seed or plant?
Plant.
Okay, good. What else? Real quick.
Zucchini.
Wow.
Good Lord, I can't even think. Oh, bush beans.
Oh, wow.
Green beans, peas.
Well, good for you. That is awesome. Great to see you back in the gardening world. That's good news.
Spending a lot of time outside.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Absolutely.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Absolutely. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Stay with us. Yeah, just about time for Pumpkinland out there at Janoski's. I'll have more on that in a moment. But right now, if you're the 10th caller, you win an incredible $25 gift certificate. Patty and Mike and the whole crew would love to see you out there at Janoski's. 412-922-1020. Before we go to the phones, do you have anything, Mr. Oster?
No, let's talk to some gardeners.
All right, 866-391-1020. Get those calls to us. Doug's here till 8 o'clock, and we'll say hi to Mike. Mike, how are you? Good morning.
Hi, Rob.
Mike.
Hi, Doug. On Sunday, I asked you about planting garlic, and you responded. Thanks so much for that. But my question is, there's a product out there called Pitt, P-I-T-T, moss. And I was just wondering, do you know anything about it?
Yeah, I love it. There are several different types of Pitt moss. And so let me just explain to the listeners what Pitt moss is. They make it out of recycled newsprint. And it's organic, and it's lightweight, and one of the best things about it, I'm using the one called Pitt Moss Plentiful, which has organic fertilizer in it. I'm using it for most of my containers because not only is it lightweight, it uses two-thirds less water than a conventional peat-based mix. And so I love the stuff. But what application are you considering it for?
Well, the garlic. Yeah, you said use compost bulb tone, but I'm just wondering if that would be okay for that.
I think it would be. I think you'd be fine to grow it. I grow garlic in pit moss that I have in containers, so I think it would work in the garden too. It's rather light, but with that organic fertilizer in there, I would be tempted also, though, to stick with the bulb tone also. To use that in the planting hole too, for your best results. Now, do you have garlic already, or do you know where you're going to get your garlic?
Yes, sir. Well, it's on order. There's
okay,
a couple places from Ohio, Baba Mike's, and I forget the other place, but it should be coming this month.
So Baba Mike's, I did a story on them when I worked in Ohio. That was the first garlic farm that I ever did a story on, and it is a really cool, amazing place. I really enjoyed meeting them. And the funny thing is, I always, when after I did this story, they were just like, oh, we love that story so much. Thank you so much. You can't pay for your garlic. Well, that's not ethical. You have to pay for it. And they wouldn't let me pay. And so I kept like sending a check and they wouldn't cash it. And said cash, they sent it back. And so one year, I convinced Han Nursery to buy garlic from them so that they would get their money. So I paid Han Nursery for it. Well, I planted 200 cloves. And
wow.
A week later, a box comes from Baba Mike's. They're like, hey, we didn't get your order. Here's 10 different types of garlic. So that's a really cool place. Now, I'm going to get my garlic at Janoski's. Janoski's grows, we know that it's hardy because it grows here, and they grow these beautiful big heads. They sell it as food, but as long as we know it's coming from a farm, the food is the same as using it for seed. So it's really, I've been using their garlic now for a couple years. So keep that in mind out there. You can find garlic at a good farm like Janoski's. And plant that. And I'll be doing my planting, some of it in October, but a lot of my planting has moved back to November now because our winters are starting so slow. So consider that,
okay,
too.
I will.
I was always taught to plant at the dark of the moon.
Right.
Which I think is October 2nd or 3rd this year, which is early in October. So I'll probably plant half of it in October and the rest of it in November.
All right. Thanks
for your call.
If you have a question for Doug, give us a call, 866-391-1020. Actually has some real estate open, so call us and we'll get you on the air. Here's Mark in Cranberry. He's got a greenhouse question for Doug on KDK. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Doug. Hey, Rob. Nice to always listen to your program. I just finished my summer project, and that was it's a 7-foot by 8-foot greenhouse. And I'm real excited about, you know, planting some vegetables. I wanted to ask you guys a couple questions. Number one, how do I keep it heated in winter? And number two, what are the best vegetables? And I like all kinds of vegetables. What kind of vegetables would you suggest to put in a small greenhouse like that?
So the heating, you're going to have to, if you want it heated, you're just going to have to buy some type of heating system. And there's a million different ones for a greenhouse. Do you have power out there?
Yes. But I was told that you can't use propane heat, or can you?
I think you can. I never heard you couldn't use propane. My greenhouse
used to deplete oxygen or something like that.
I don't know. I'd have to look that one up. I'll look that up during the break. But, you know, some type of heating system. But then when we come to the plants, see, my greenhouse is attached to the house and unheated. And I can grow things through most of the winter, but heating it is really going to help. The thing that's going to slow you down is just you're not going to have as much light as you do now. Growing hot weather crops like tomatoes and peppers and stuff like that is not going to work. You can start them earlier in that greenhouse, but you don't have enough day length for that. But all the other things, the cool weather crops, lettuce, arugula, kohlrabi, kale, beets, anything that loves cool weather doesn't need quite as long of the days. And with just a little bit of heat, those things will thrive. And those are things that I'm growing outside most of the winter without protection, or with a little bit of protection. And so just a little bit of heat in there is going to help you there. And you could start tomatoes just coming out of January, probably February. You could start tomatoes if you wanted to pay for the heat. And you'd have really big early tomatoes to put in the ground in early in the season, or keep them in the greenhouse and grow them that way.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
What made you build a greenhouse?
Well, a couple of reasons. I did have cancer in the past, and it's all good now, but my doctor says stay away from people that utilize, you know, different types of fertilizers like Roundup and other things. And he said, it's in the air, even if you have a garden outside. So I wanted to keep it as organic as I could. That's number one. Number two, all the animals just used to destroy my garden.
Yeah.
So even, you know, I didn't want it to make it look like Starlux 17, where they have the big post and everything. And,
right, razor wire to keep the deer out.
Yeah. So this is why I figured the greenhouse would be nice, and I could probably utilize it for most of the winter, like you said, with, you know, the cold weather plants.
I'd give it a shot. I think you're going to have a lot of fun with it.
Yes.
And it'll give you
one last.
Oh, go ahead.
One last question. I have old, like, garden soil. It's been in my shed for like over a year and a half. Is that still good?
Yeah, it'll be fine. Take a look at that one thing I was talking about right before we got on with you. Take a look at that pit moss plentiful as a container growing for greenhouse growing, because, again, a bag of it is really light and it doesn't need as much water. It gives you more leeway. And one thing to know about growing in a greenhouse and inside is you don't want to overwater. That's
right.
Something to think about. And all those plants are also going to need some fertilizer, too. And I think you're going to have a lot of fun doing that. What do you have in mind for growing in there? What are you thinking?
Well, I like all the different types of lettuces. And I know my wife and I both like oregano, basil, those type of herbs. And I was really excited about the tomatoes. I was hoping to get, you know, start the tomatoes early, like, you know, January, February. And then cucumbers and potatoes and garlic. It's a pretty nice greenhouse. I mean, it has the hooks and everything. And it was fun. It was a nice summer project my son and I did.
Well,
and
I'm
so real excited about it. Mm-hmm.
Well, you could bring basil in there and grow that for a long time. The basil that there's two different basils that I like for growing inside in the winter. One's called Spicy Globe, and the other one is African Blue Basil. But in your case with the greenhouse, I bet you could get like our normal, what we call Genovese basil, like the normal basil. I bet you could get that staying good with a little bit of heat because it can't go below freezing for basil. But I bet you could keep that going most of the winter and have fresh basil.
That's great. Okay, well, I'm excited. I'll give you a report.
Yeah, we need something to talk. We need something to talk about in the winter, and we'd love to talk to somebody who's picking lettuce and all sorts of other stuff in the middle of the winter.
That's great.
Thanks so much.
Okay, well, thanks so much, Coach.
All right, Mark, appreciate the call. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We're going to talk to John in South Park about one of Doug's favorite topics, tomatoes. Next hour, family-friendly meals. It's all about budget, quality, delicious, and nutritious. Today on the Coons Cooking Hour. All right, right back to the phones. Here's John in South Park. Hey, John, welcome to KDKA.
Good morning. Doug, your last caller brought up three questions to mind. I have, now that I'm apartment living, I'm drilling tomatoes about 7 or 8 5-gallon buckets on a balcony. I only get sun between about 1 p.m. and as late as it goes. It used to be 7, but it's not that anymore. Anyway, I've used Dramatica on it, and the tomatoes are a lot greener now. They're about 2 to 2.5 inches. And should I continue feeding, or is it in a slow growth mode, or what's the status on the growing of tomatoes right now under the circumstances I described?
Yeah, how many hours do you think you're getting of sun?
Right now, it's about six and a half hours.
I would continue fertilizing. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think there's enough day length to use that fertilizer, and especially since they're in the 5-gallon buckets, they're eating up everything in there pretty quickly. I'd continue to fertilize. You know, we only have maybe a month left for. Are they out like on a deck?
Yeah, I'm on the top floor, the 7th floor, and they get the sun as I mentioned.
Yeah, so.
But I can manage to, if need be, I can get the plastic over top to keep some heat in for a longer growth period.
That sounds good. Yeah, I'd keep fertilizing them. And how have they done in the 5-gallon buckets? They done okay?
They're doing pretty good. They're about 3.5-4 feet high, as best I can tell. But they're doing pretty good. I thought you mentioned at one time a larger bucket, and I forget what that was. What was that?
15-gallon, what I call it, a root pouch. They're only about $7, and it's just a fabric pot. I like bigger because it doesn't eat up everything so quick, and it also... It doesn't need to be watered as often.
Okay, 15-gallon, that sounds pretty big. Anyway, where can you get those?
You can just get them online. I get them from a place called A.M. Leonard. It's like a garden tool shop. If you just search Google and say 15-gallon root pouch, that's the first thing that'll come up, and they're cheap. And they're really durable. I've been growing lots of stuff in them.
Okay, next question is, you mentioned pit moss, which I've used, but you mentioned two types, and the first type you mentioned, I think that was a fertilizer, one with fertilizer in it, but you never mentioned the second type. What would that be?
I don't know the names. I just know that I like the Plentiful. I'm not sure the other two or three that they have. They've got all sorts of different ones, but Plentiful is the one that I like.
Okay, and the last question is, if I can find it here, what the hell they do with it? Now, let's see. For garlic, do you fertilize the soil? I've had luck with just plugging them in the ground in late October, November, and they come up pretty good with that.
I like to feed them bulb tone. That's my go-to for fertilizing garlic.
It's like a bulb tone.
Yep.
Very good.
All right, John, thanks. We are out of time, about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Well, stay on the line there, caller, because I'm going to get you running. I get off the show, get off the air here. I will...
We'll take the call.
We'll take the call. I am going to Iceland and I'm going to London. Three seats left for Iceland and lots of seats left for London in May. That's going to be great. Chelsea Flower Show, direct flight from Pittsburgh. Just check that stuff all at DougOster.com. If I didn't get to your call today, or if you're too shy to call, just go to DougOster.com and I answer questions after the show. Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, Doug, good job. Stay with us. News with Rob next, and then it's family-friendly budgeted meals on the Coons Cooking Hour on KDKA.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.